bye. Who you gonna talk to if you can't tell me? Where'd you hide the body?
Where'd you hide the body? Where'd you stash your loot? Keep your hands where I can see them, so I don't have to shoot.
Yeah.
There's a smoking pistol at your side, but you swear it's not the one. Where'd you hide the body? Where'd you get the gun? Where'd you hide the body? Where'd you get the gun?
Bunker. Terrible Tommy, right here in the bunker. Let me see here. What do we got going here? I don't want that. I don't want that music.
My job down at the dock.
Don't want that music.
Our chimney's up on blocks. I got holes in both my socks. But she loves me. Her old washing machine still.
There we go. We got rid of that one. And now we got to get back to the video. Come on. There we go. I got the video. Okay. Now, guess what, boys? There's a few things that you'll never see. Okay? Number one. A puppet with a heart on. A butterfly with a swastika design. Well, I've been looking for them, but I never found one yet. A Latin word for douchebag. Someone defecating in church. I never seen that. A junkie with leisure time. A serial killer with light up. Wait a minute. A serial killer with a light-up bow tie. Yeah, I saw one of those one time. A mom-and-pop steel mill. You seen one of those? I haven't seen one of those. A shot glass full of carrot juice. A bum with a matching luggage. really interesting twins condoms with pictures of saints. Haven't seen that. Two homosexuals who own a bait shop. A pimp with a low profit margin. And a Rolls Royce that's more than 50% primer paint. I'm not sure where I get that one or not. But that's it. You're never going to see that stuff. This is Terrible Tommy in the bunker right here in North Central Indiana. We're at P.O. Box 401. And we're trying something new here today. We're recording this in video and audio. So I'm not sure how this is going to turn out. My shirt's up here, man, looking like Kooky Burns on that Hollywood show back in the old days. Yeah. Send your donations for the radio show to the P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And that's right next to our Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard that's closed down for the winter time. We're getting about 30-mile-an-hour wind gusts, sort of a blizzard situation here in North Central Indiana today. And it is, looking at my Frank Silva Memorial Clock, it's the 12th, 2016. So we got quite a bit of time to do all kinds of stuff and get in all kinds of trouble this month. Well, I'm going to look around here and see if I can get in trouble. Let's get to our pessimist reading here. I'm not sure whether you guys like this or not, but it don't make any difference. I'm going to read it. In 1792, the British battleship capsizes. While in for repairs at Spithead in southern England, on August 29th, the famed 108-gun warship Royal George unexpectedly capsized while 1,300 sailors, workers, and others were aboard. About 900 people died in the tragedy, causing great embarrassment for the English naval establishment. I would imagine so. I'm going to put on my old reading glasses here for this fine print in this book, paperback books, you know. Okay, in 1792 also, the September Massacre. The massacres took place in the city of Paris from September 2nd to the 6th, were among the bloodiest episodes of the French Revolution, serving as a cruel prelude to the Reign of Terror in 1793. Roving mobs seeking revenge on anyone connected with the recently overthrown monarchy or aristocracy. See, that's what happens when the ruling class go too far. And the common people and the peasants of France and Paris weren't having it too good. There's a lot of people who are apologists for the crown and the aristocracy. But if you read some other books, you'll find out that it was really shit city if you were a peasant or a working class guy living in Paris or even around France and the countryside. Well, they stormed the jails where many noblemen. Well, that's a good idea. I think if we ever have an uproar here in the United States, we'll probably unlock the doors to all the prisons too. And then if the people that come out of it don't act right, well, then we just get rid of them. Let's see. Also, the royal attendants, and the clergy were in prison. Well, a lot of clergy should be in prison. What happened to the Princess de Lamballe was typical. She was dragged from prison by her hair, hanged, and then disemboweled. Her mutilated body was dragged through the streets and put on display for 2 days. Now, you can imagine how pissed off these people common people must have been to resort to that kind of brutality. And they always say, oh, that's horrible, that's horrible. Well, what would drive people to that anger, frustration? You got to understand that, too, you know. A lot of these Arabs over there that have been bombed and invaded and trampled on and killed. And when they fight back and fight dirty, everybody gets upset. See, why would they do that? That's always the ruling class line. Now, why would they do things like that? Well, if you look over the situation and read a little bit, you'll know why. At one prison, clergy were led outside two at a time. Their throats were cut and their bodies exhibited to torment the next victims being led out. Citizens paraded the streets carrying the heads and bodies of victims on pikes, a kind of spike pole used as a weapon during the period. Yeah, every once in a while the ruling class has to be reminded that they can be living on a short leash. Let's see here, what else? Mangled bodies lay piled against houses as men and women and children were decapitated, hanged, run through with pikes, and even roasted alive. Before this sordid orgy came to a close, some 1,200 prisoners perished, along with a number of their tormentors, who were killed while fighting over their victims' valuables. Unreasonable acts in the age of reason? Well, I don't know. I don't know. Well, they were mostly Christians, so whatever they did should have been all right. 1793, deadly explosion of Japanese volcano. The volcano, unseen, dominated a small island off the coast of Japan until April 1st, when the volcano exploded and the remnants of the island sank beneath the sea. About 53,000 people on the island were killed. It wasn't just the Greek islands that had their up-and-comings. Well, see, you get all excited about these nuclear explosions over there in Japan, but they've had worse. And, of course, we've inflicted worse on them. Yeah. I got to keep my place in this book. I won't be able to come back tomorrow. We're going to read about more reigns of terror tomorrow. Okay, let's see what's going on here in the news. Wow. Wrong mouse. I got mouses all over hitting the desk here. I want to. Lone wolves. Well, I read this. About ISIS and what they're recommending that they do. Let's see here if I can get some more information. Islamic State safety and security guidelines for lone wolves, Mujahideen, is as much a revelation about the group's perception of Western culture as it is a step-by-step guide to staying under the radar of security services. No doubt that today, at the era of the lone wolves, brothers in the West need to know some important things about safety in order to ensure success of their operations. Introduction to the 58-page Unconventional Warfare magazine. Here are just some of the tidbits of advice on offer for lone wolves. They got their lone wolf manual too. Avoid looking like a Muslim. Yeah, that's horrible. The best way to do this is apparently to avoid having a beard, wearing gamas, Islamic tunics, using miswak, teeth cleaning twigs, and having a booklet of dhikr, prayers, and devotional acts with you. Wow. You got a pretty neat deal here I think I can use. And they're showing how to these guys cut their beards and stuff like that. I'm going to try to get this one here. No. They got a big wolf on here. It says, I'm a lone wolf and I always was and always will be. How about that? I got to go back and grab that for us. Yeah. Okay. How'd I get David Bowie on here? Okay. This is going to be probably a little screwed up show because I'm doing video and audio. ISIS offers jihadist tips to avoid detection. The document says, no doubt that today, in an era of the lone wolves, brothers in the West need to know some important things about safety in order. Well, what does that say? Let's bring that up. Oh, well, let me see here. Here we go. Here's your tips from your ISIS people. A chilling Islamic State manual has emerged online in which the dreaded outfit advises would-be jihadists from the West to trim their beards and wear Western-style clothes to avoid being identified by security services while plotting their unconventional warfare attacks. The 58-page English language manual titled Safety and Security Guidelines for Lone Wolf Mujahideen advises would-be terrorists hoping to launch an attack to trim their beards, wear aftershave. Now, we read this yesterday, I think. And even pretend being Christian in a bid to avoid being detected by security services. Well, why not? Everybody else pretends to be a Christian. The Jews, the Arabs, everybody. Negroes. The document says, no doubt that today, at the era of lone wolves, brothers in the West need to know some important things about safety in order to ensure success of their operation. Quote, we thought a lot of non-Arabic speaking brothers would find it interesting and may apply it to their blessed operations. I guess that suicide bombs are blessed operations. They got an interesting sense of humor. If you can avoid having a beard, wearing a gamas kurta, using a miswak, traditional toothbrush, and having a booklet of dhikr, Islamic worship, with you, it's better. I already read that. It is permissible for you to wear a necklace showing a Christian cross. As you know, Christians or even atheist Westerners with Christian background wear crosses on their necklaces. But do not wear a cross necklace if you have a Muslim name on your passport, as it may look strange. Now, I read that yesterday. The booklet includes suggestions for where to stash fake passports and to use nightclubs with loud music as the best place to secretly discuss the details of an operation. Well, I guess that is true if you can hear. There's a lot of nightclubs I've been in, or not a lot, but I've been in nightclubs that were so noisy, couldn't hear anything. I found bowling alleys work about as good as anything. But you're better off not to have these secret meetings at all if you're talking about illegal operations. You're best to consult yourself. Stick with your own counsel. Wait a minute. I'm looking here at China's new force to offset U.S. edge. Gunmen kill 18. Oh, this is just a list of stories. I thought it was going to show more of this handbook. And that's in a Hindu paper. I don't want a Hindu paper. Okay, now let's see if we got any more news here. Okay, let's see. What's this here? Carrying cash and the coming to the U.S.? What the hell is this? Let's see what's going on. Wait a minute. I don't think
And the Canadian government has issued a warning to their citizens of what some have described as a shakedown perpetrated by U.S. law enforcement agents. The official Canadian government website claims that civil servants ranging from local police to federal agents working for their neighbor to the south are illegally seizing cash and goods from tourists. RT's Alexei Yaroshevsky brings the details.
If you go to the official website of the Canadian government, you may read an advice about traveling to the United States suggesting that there's no limit on cash you could be carrying around in your pocket. But still, the government says that it is not advisable to have many cash on you because banking could be problematic for non-U.S. Residents. And this advice just received an absolutely new meaning. The CBC service in Canada is reporting on a huge shakedown happening in the United States, and the perps are wearing uniforms. Different sort of law enforcement representatives, from federal agents to state troopers on the roads, are literally ripping money off people on the roads. It happens in a way that they stop your car for a minor infraction like changing lanes without a signal. The offense is not relevant at all. Then the officer has a chat with you and asks to have a look inside your car. If he finds any cash in your car, then he asks you to prove that this is not a money laundering case or you're not involved in any drug transportation or terrorism. If you cannot prove it, the cash is likely to find itself in the pockets of an officer. The investigation by Washington Post just recently suggested that ever since 9/11, when the law enforcement officers were giving additional tools and additional means in this country, there has been in excess of 61,000 strippings of cash without any proper search warrant. And the total bill for that amounts to a staggering $2.5 billion. Now, the CBC even gives a string of advices for those traveling from Canada to
advices?
The United States. For instance, being very polite with the officer and not
Where's
letting
this guy from?
Search your car without a search warrant, because in the eyes of a cash-hungry cop, you may be a rolling
I think
ATM.
This is an ISIS
cases,
guy.
The listed by the Washington Post are truly astronomical. One businessman was relieved of $75,000 in cash while he was on his way to pay for a restaurant he was willing to buy. Another graduate student lost $2,500 he lent from his dad for the trip. And there's been a number of cases like this. In fact, less than a half of all the money stripped by the people in uniform over the past 13 years amounted to less than $8,800. The other sums were much more than that. And only 1/6 of the people who lost their cash due to policemen asking them to relieve them of that cash actually went to court
those
money reimbursed. Only half of them actually won those cases. So the CBC is giving a list of advice for the Canadians traveling to the United States to avoid any kind of incidents like that on the roads with policemen and federal agents in the United States.
That was RT's Alexei Yaroshevsky.
The secret is use traveler's checks. And if you're too stupid to use traveler's checks or some other method, then you deserve to lose your money to these crooked cops. Because these cop deals have been going on for quite a while. They've been stopping people out there in Missouri and Kansas and places like that, and they're shaking people down for their money. So let the Traveler beware with his cash. Keep it in your jockey shorts. Yeah. Okay, now let me see what else is going on. This is exciting. It's very exciting. And here, let's see what's going on. Okay. Let's see what's going on with hate crimes. Oh. There's somebody over in Germany got iced and they're calling it a hate crime. Well, I wonder whether if he was white or not. Oh, he's a Brit. He's a Englander shot dead in Germany. Let's see what's going on there. His mother's showing his picture. Looks like a pretty good looking guy. The parents of a British lawyer shot dead in Berlin say they believe their son was a victim of a hate crime. You know, I keep telling you, all crimes are hate crimes. There's no love crime. I mean, this is totally, it's so ridiculous, this is unbelievable. Luke Holland from Stockport, Greater Manchester, was killed in the early days of September the 20th in the Nukela district of the German capital. A 62-year-old man identified as Rolf Z. has been arrested in connection with the killing. Rita and Philip Holland said they believe he was shot because he was heard speaking English, but the authorities have not looked thoroughly into the possibility of a hate crime. Their lawyer, Onar Ozata, sounds real Western, claimed the suspect had pictures and busts of Adolf Hitler at home. Oh, Berlin prosecutor office spokesman Martin Scheltner said investigators are still in the dark about a possible motive because the subject refuses to talk. Well, it's interesting that he would shoot an Englander, looked like a fairly racially good looking guy. I don't know what that's all about, unless he was reciting the Old Testament or something. There must be more to this story. Maybe he was wearing a yarmulke or something. So, who knows? Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? Okay, now let's see what else we got here. Oh, they're trying to pass a bill over in Israel, add it to the criminal code. Hate crimes for people who attack transgender things in Israel. You know, everything you get in New York, you get over in Israel. Well, it shouldn't be a hate crime. It just should be a crime. We got a mosque vandalized down in Lexington, Kentucky. You'd think they would vandalize it when they're building it, not wait till they get it done. Wait a minute. This is unbelievable. Listen to this. Somebody put some red marks on the Consul on American Islamic Relations said in a statement on Sunday that it was calling on law enforcement to investigate red markings on the Islamic Center in Owensboro, Kentucky as a possible hate crime. Red marks is a hate crime? The statement said officials at the mosque believe the vandalism was motivated by bias. You know that bias shit started over there in England. They started using that word bias. CARE spokesman Ibrahim Hooper noted an increase in anti-mosque incidents across the nation. Davies County Sheriff's Department Sergeant Scott Wedding said deputies were called to the mosque on Friday afternoon to investigate these red markings that turned out to be smeared ketchup. Oh, man. Somebody put ketchup on the mosque. That's terrible. God, we got to catch these guys and hang them. He said officials are not treating it as a possible hate crime because the vandals left no words or symbols to indicate hate as a motivation. So if you're going to paint up a synagogue or whatever, you got to do it in a way that doesn't show a symbol or a word or anything like that. Oh, in other words, just take a quart of paint and throw it on the, there you go, the mosque. That's not a hate crime. Seems sort of hateful to me, but they have a funny thing about this hate crime stuff. Well, anyhow, it's being treated as a possible hate crime, but they can't really charge anybody because it's not a symbol, it's not a swastika, it's not a Japanese rising sun, it's not a picture of Soupy Sales or anything like that, so they got a problem. Let's see here. Boy, they got a lot of so-called hate crimes over there in England. There's a whole page full of them. Let's see here. Here we got one, a hit and run. The guy's an actor. He claims that it was a hate crime. Johannesburg. Theophilo Mokinya and Wayne Champion don't know each other. One is an actor who lives in Vanderbijl Park, and the other a banker from four ways north of Joburg. But both of them survived attacks that could have left them dead. Makono's right leg is in a cast. He uses crutches to walk, and his body is covered by bruises after being deliberately run over by a motorist and left for dead in what he believes was a race attack. Makona, who declined a request for an interview with the Star, wrote a lengthy post titled, "A Hate Crime, This Is My Story," on his Facebook wall, recounting his ordeal. According to the post, Makona, an actor who has appeared on the Hunter Dry commercials for several years, went for a 10-kilometer run on the quiet streets of Vanderpoppschak in the Val on January 5th. Boy, this is really hot stuff, man. We got to know about this stuff. Quote, "I started my run and I was going well as usual," whatever that means. "I reached my 5K mark and started to make my way back. I kept going, and just before I reached the 7K mark, it all ended." What happened? "The next thing I know, I wake up, on the side of the road, bleeding everywhere from my head, my arms, my legs. I am disoriented, shouting at the man helping me. He keeps saying, 'I'm calling the ambulance. You're badly hurt.' And I keep saying, 'No, take me to my house or I'll walk there,' he wrote. He was taken home and his wife drove him to the hospital." That was sort of stupid. He should have gone straight to the hospital. He could have died of loss of blood. "The same night I walked up in the hospital in a lot of pain. I have an open wound in my head, and I am being stitched. Open wounds on my back, my arms, the back of my legs, and a fractured ankle. So I can't walk. I am screaming as this is taking place." He must have been walking in the middle of the road when he got hit. That's the Mother Nature punishes people who walk in the middle of the road or even part way in the road. Mother Nature, that's not a hate crime when Mother Nature gets you. In trying to piece together what had happened, rubble collectors who were not far from the accident scene told him that a red Audi was driving in the fast lane and changed lanes to get into the slow lane to knock me out on the road and got back into the fast lane and drove off. Well, it was a red car. It was obviously a white red communist. Literally hit and run. Isn't that hit and drive? Should be hit and drive. Okay, literally hit and run. I was unconscious for 15 to 20 minutes. Well, how do you know that if you're unconscious on the road? How do you know you were unconscious for 15 to 20 minutes? According to the two street guys, the driver of the vehicle and his passenger were white males, he said. Ooh, and you're a darkie. Oh, wow. Meanwhile, 3 days earlier, Champion was attacked apparently with would-be hijackers. Champion's left arm has limited movement after a rock was thrown through the window of his car as he traveled with his 6 month pregnant fiance, who was probably white. Nigger with a white girl, yeah. That's probably why somebody threw a rock through his window. Champion was on holiday in KwaZulu, Natal with his fiance, Marina Kent. Could have been black guys threw a rock through his window because he had a white woman with him too. I don't know. You never know about this stuff. It felt as if I had been hit by a train. Strangely, I saw the brick. Now it's a brick. I thought it was a rock. But at the speed that it was coming towards me, I was powerless to do anything. I heard the window shatter, and I felt the impact, he said. Speaking to the Star newspaper on Sunday, Champion said although he was badly injured with blood oozing from his wounds on his arm, he knew he had to keep driving. It's not saying anything about the girlfriend. Hell with her. I was scared that if I stopped, they were going to hijack us. It was very traumatic, and I was very angry. That sort of leads me to believe that the attackers were, the hate crimers were black, against a black guy and his black mulatto and his white girlfriend. After some time, the couple swapped seats, and Kent managed to drive to Margate Hospital, where Champion was treated. My arm was a whole lot of staples in it, and I have limited movement. There's been damage to the muscle, and I can't extend it fully, and I will have to go to a physiotherapist for further treatment, he said. Well, I've got his email here if anybody wants to console this mulatto that got attacked probably by black Africans who didn't like his jib. Okay, let's see what else is going on here. This is a pretty exciting news day here. Okay. Oh, boy, here's some hot stuff. It's terrible. It's not safe for man or beast. West Midland police recorded a total of 127 hate crimes with a racial element in the 2 weeks after the Islamic State suicide attackers killed 130 people in the attacks on November 13th of last year. I wonder what those constituted. You know, sometimes they call hate crimes just calling people assholes. Hey, you walk asshole. Wow, that's a hate crime. This was up from 96 crimes of a similar nature recorded in the first 2 weeks of that month. Boy, things are going to hell in a handbag. The figures released under the Freedom of Information Act also showed that religious hate crimes doubled in the 2 weeks following November 13. Wow. Hate offenses with a religious strand jumped from 5 between October 31st and November 13th to 10 between November 14th and November 27th. They get all excited about this stuff. Responding to the figures, West Midlands Police and Crime Commission David Jameson revealed he was considering launching a hate crime helpline for the region. He said, "I'm committed to tackling hate crime and bringing hidden crimes out in the open, right here," unquote. Here in the West Midlands, it's worth noting that there has been an overall reduction in hate crime over the past year, down from 3,203 in 2014 and 15 to 2,589 in 2015 and 16 to date. So things are getting much better. There's only, what'd I say, 2,589 hate crimes. Half of those are people going, "Hey, raghead, hey, raghead." You know, that's half of the hate crimes. Okay. Let's see what else we got here. Well, it's very interesting. Well, Syrians at a Muslim center pepper sprayed in suspected hate crime. Well, that's interesting. That's in the National Observer. A Muslim community organizer, isn't that what Obama was, a community organizer? Sees the hand of Donald Trump in a Friday night pepper spray attack on a crowd of people outside a Vancouver Museum Center that sent one toddler to the hospital. Wow. Absolutely, without a doubt, why would anyone come out of this? Go out of his way to spray people he never met, including a one-year-old toddler. Well, why do ISIS people go out of their way to cut people's heads off that they never met? They'll never meet them again because they won't have any head. In his view, the prominent political figures such as Trump gave the pepper spray attackers and others who carry out hate crimes the idea that Muslims are terrorists. Well, a hell of a lot of them are. Violent people, man. Violent people. Backward thinking or are opposed to the West. "I think what happened on Friday night is probably a result of that," said Ramadan. The attack occurred shortly after 10:30 p.m. on January 8, when a cyclist pepper sprayed approximately 15 people outside a Muslim Association of Canada Center on Vancouver's Kingsway Street, according to the Vancouver Police Department. The attacker then fled the scene on his bicycle. Register the bicycles. We got to get rid of the bicycles. The attack occurred shortly after 10:30 on January 8th when a cyclist pepper sprayed approximately 50 people. Oh, I just read that, for Christ's sake, Metzger. Watch what you're reading here. A number of people suffering from the effects of the pepper spray had to be taken away in an ambulance. That's bullshit. Including the toddler. Some other victims vomited. Police continue to hunt for the suspect and are treating this incident as a hate crime. Yeah, they're everywhere. Well, I've been shot with pepper spray. It's a pain in the ass, but it doesn't hurt you. In fact, in the Army, we used to have to go into these buildings full of mace and take off our gas masks and stand there for about 5 minutes. So, no big deal. Quote, this isn't who we are and doesn't reflect the warm welcome Canadians have offered, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau posted on Twitter the following day. Immigration Minister John McCollum, B.C. Premier Christy Clark, and Vancouver Mayor Gregor Robertson also condemned the attack. If the pepper spray attack is a hate crime, as police suspect, it would be the latest in a series of Islamophobic incidents across Canada over the last several months. When they attack a white person, do they call that Aryan-phobic? Aryan-phobic. Last fall, a Muslim lady in Montreal had her headscarf ripped off in an assault that left her on the ground. Boy, that's a real vicious attack there. Took her headscarf off and she fell over. An attack that may have been inspired by heated debate over the wearing of niqabs during the federal election. You know, nowhere in the Quran does it say that Islamic women have to wear covering. You know, we got Christians in this country, some of the churches that do that. It's just the church, the way they wanted to do. They don't have to do it. Soon after the Paris terror attacks last November, an Islamic center in Ontario was torched in an arson attack, while a mosque in Calgary suffered a break-in by thieves who stole a computer and donation boxes. That's probably a hate crime, too. No, they just wanted a computer. Soon after the Paris terror attacks last November, an Islamic center in Ontario was torched in an arson attack, while a mosque in Calgary suffered. Well, I read that before, you stupid. We don't want to overdramatize, but there have been attacks on several Islamic centers in Canada. There's also been Muslim girls being subjected to abuse and attacks in Ramadan. Well, I'll bet you primarily that's Negroes, uneducated, ruthless Negroes. South of the border, Donald Trump has continued to stoke tears by calling for a federal government database to monitor Muslims, which seems logical to me. Make them carry special identification, seems normal to me. Impose a ban on Muslims entering the U.S., seems normal to me. And has promised to deport Syrian refugees if he is elected president come November. I don't think he would ever do it. I think half the stuff he yaps about doing, he wouldn't do. On the same day that refugees in Canada were pepper sprayed, a Muslim woman in hijab was ejected from a Trump rally after she stood up in silent protest. I saw that. When the Republican candidate claimed that Syrian refugees were affiliated with self-styled Islamic State, the woman was booed and cheered at by Trump supporters as she was removed. Ramadan's message to those people who attacked Muslims was a blunt one. Grow up and join humanity. Oh, what's going on over in the Middle East is humanity? I don't think so. Wow, man. Well, let's see what else we got here. I'm trying to fill out the hour to get this video and see what we can do with it. Yeah, I am. So you guys are listening to just the audio are probably going to say, that's a screwed up show. What the hell is he doing? Okay, here we go. Yeah. Well, there's quite a bit more of this stuff. Of this hate crime stuff. And it's all, you know, white or black crime against these people. Well, let's see about what's going on in religion. I like to pick on religion. Trump's been invited to a mosque, oldest mosque in North America, in Cedar Rapids. Jeez, Cedar Rapids. Calls Trump a great man with bad ideas. Oh, that's cute. If I was Trump, I'd go. Tell him what he thinks. Let's listen to the story here. Yeah, let's listen to it. I hope it's not too
Support
long.
For NPR comes from Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management, where students can earn their executive MBA alongside other business leaders from around the world.
National Pissed Off Radio. Come on with the show. See what we got here.
Let's hear from a voter in Iowa. He's a registered Republican. His name is Taha Tawil, and he is the imam at the Mother Mosque of America in Cedar Rapids. Mr. Tawil recently extended an invitation to Donald Trump, hoping the candidate might come to the mosque to chat. I asked Mr. Tawil what motivated him.
I see Donald Trump as a great man going around with bad ideas. And the thing that we saw, we need to invite him to
let
the rationale and the logic and the reason be overwhelming instead of emotions and rhetoric and the propaganda upon his own fellow citizens.
Has he responded to your invitation yet?
No. Nobody responded. No. And we are following it with a written invitation this week.
Well, you say that he is a great man with bad ideas right now. So I wonder if you had the chance to bring him to your mosque and sit down face to face. What exactly would you tell him?
We want him to know that we are, you know, with him on so many of his ideas about safety and security for our country. And we want him to know that we are a big resource so he can use us in his endeavor. Instead of alienating us and going wild, you know, with those ads that he has. Many people are right now have Islamophobia already.
Yeah.
And now with him running and increasing this Islamophobia, now we're getting back to the 30s and 40s in this country.
Yeah.
So you're saying that if he sat down with a community of Muslims, you're thinking that might change his mind about, you know, say the policy that he proposed, which was to close the borders to Muslims coming into this country for, you know, an indefinite period of time. You think he could change his mind there?
Oh, sure.
We don't know. We don't know. But it is just a voice of logic. It's a voice of reason. And diversity in America is the source of its greatness.
We love diversity.
So the whole idea, I think, it's like this. It goes, all men are equal. That's the Constitution.
Well, somebody give me a torch.
We are one nation under God. And we don't see him doing that. We are not seeing him applying the Constitution.
Oh.
Well, I wonder, given everything you've said about what you're not happy with right now, tell me what you like about Donald Trump. You described him as a great man.
Well, what I like about him, his charisma, that he is
going forward. I want to borrow some money off of him.
In his campaign, promising to build America to be the savior of America.
Oh!
And that's great. That's why we said we need someone to think this way.
We don't want
him only to take one community in America and run with it and leave the rest of us behind.
You're a registered Republican, right?
Yes, I am.
Could you see a chance of voting for Donald Trump, depending on how the conversation goes?
Oh, yes.
Yes. If he has sufficient evidence.
If he kiss our
absolutely.
Ass.
Absolutely. Many in my members, they told me, yes, he has good ideas and we want to stop this radically.
Yeah, well, that's about enough of you, you jerk. that's about it for today. I'm going to get out of here. And let's have Johnny get us out of here.
You know, we've been on tour for about a week now after our last recording session, and they say old Johnny Cash works good under pressure. Put the screws on me and I'm going to screw right off my knees is what I'm going to do, though.
Yeah. You know
that? Tired of all that shit. Yeah. I got this right. All right. I tell you what, the show is being recorded and televised for England, and they told me you got to do this song, you got to do that song, you know, you got to stand like this or act like this. I just don't get it, man. You know,
no.
I'm here to do what you want me to and what I want to do. Right?
The rest of them can kiss my ass.
So what do you want to hear? All right. I walk the line.
Yeah, baby. Sam Braghead's better walk the line too.
Close watch on this heart of mine.
Yeah.
I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day is through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Yeah! I walk that damn line.
As sure as night is dark and day is light.
Damn, Raghead better walk the line.
I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right. Because you're mine, I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you, I know I'd even try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine.
Yeah.
I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
There you go. Wotan's Day.
Weren't
you wonder what the hell was going
water
on today?
Your favorite one
if, you wonder what the hell was going on today, don't ask me. Don't ask me.